pastor here at Foundry United Methodist Church. On behalf of all of our pastors, our staff, I want to welcome you today as you come to be with us, to gather together to be this community of faith that seeks by God's grace to love God, to love each other, and to change the world. It is a blessing that you are with us for worship, whether you're here in our sanctuary today or joining us for worship through live stream. You are a blessing to us that you have taken some time out of your life to share.
Aaron, do you like these headphones better?
We want you to know that no matter where you come from today, no matter where you go and see here, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you feel or don't feel today,
there you go.
And no matter who you love, you're welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God who knows you by name, who loves you, wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. Friends, it's been quite a week in our world. It is good to be gathered in to the house of God. Let's together give thanks and praise to that God who has brought us this far safely and by faith. We'll stand together as we're able and sing together, Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's 2173 in the little light book. Anything else you can think of that you love to do when you come here to Foundry? Mm-hmm. What do you think? here together, but if we never left here, we would miss out on a lot. And you know what? One of the most important things that would not happen if we never left Foundry Church is that the people outside Foundry Church wouldn't get to know you and wouldn't get to receive your love and your care. Because you know why we come to church? You know the one big reason why we come to church? What do you think? To learn how to help people. High five, dude. That's right. We come to church so we learn how to live when we're not at Foundry Church. We come here so we know how to be out in the world. So if we never left here, then all those people who need our help and need our love would never get to receive those gifts from us. Alright? So it's great to be here, but it's also great to be sent back out into the world to do what God needs us to do. Let's say a prayer and ask for God's help to do that. Loving God, we give you thanks today that we are here for all of the fun things and the important things that we do when we're together here in Foundry. We pray that you would help us to learn what we need to learn so that we can go back out into our lives at school and at home and all the places we go to share your love and your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much. I'm so glad to be with you.
And on Tuesday, May 5th, we changed the date of our charge conference, and it will take place to discuss staff salary adjustments. And right now, as us enter into a posture and a time of prayer, there is so much in the world to pray for and to pray about, and there are a few things from our community I would like to lift up. Please pray for these individuals as they are recuperating from surgery or going into surgery and are experiencing illness. Chuck Pluckville and Don Lowe, if you know them, please send them a note to let them know that you're praying for them and thinking of them. We've had two deaths in our congregation this week. Richard Autry, the father of Candace Autry. Candace is a member of our congregation. She's a confirmation mentor. Her father passed away, and we pray for Candace and her family out in Oklahoma. And we also pray for David Jackson, his mother, Florence Jackson, passed away. So if you know David and Gail and Marina and Matthew, they are faithful members of this congregation. Please pray for them and lift them up in prayer. All of their contact information will be available at the front desk, and you will be able to reach out to them. There's a lot of things in our hearts and minds. Let's have a time of silence just for a bit as we continue in worship.
seize our gifts and strengthen our hearts, so that all we give and all we do might be for kingdom building. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thank you.
gracious God, we lift you up in praise and thanksgiving because you have come to be with us in the places where we struggle, in the places where we suffer, in the places where we're confused, in the places where we're in pain. You're also with us in our joy, in our seeking, and in our wandering. God, come and be with us now. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, for you are my strength and the salvation of the world. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. In this Easter season, we get what we call in the church speak, the great 50 days of Easter. We are in the midst of that time, and during this time, thinking about what it means to live in the newness of resurrection, what it means to be an Easter people, what it means to be those who know or want to know or are trying to know Jesus Christ. And so that means, what does it mean for us to be the church? What is the church, and what is the church for? A lot of times we might think about church as a place to go. I'm going to go to church. And we might even think that the work of the church is to go there and to get other people to go there with us. If the focus of our understanding of what the church is and is for has to do with a building or a place where we gather or even a particular group of people, then it's easy to think that to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is primarily about going to that place or being with those people. And this allows us to say that if we just go to church on Sunday, then we are Christians. Like saying if you just walk into a garage, you're going to become a car. Of course, I mean, it's fairly ridiculous and it's oversimplified, but this way, this imbalanced view of what the church is and what the church is for is fairly common, and it is, I think, one reason why this imbalance is one reason why I think what is called the missional movement in Christian circles has really risen to some place of attention. This movement focuses on the other side of the equation. Instead of a focus on people going to church, the focus becomes the church going to people. Now, this is a natural and a necessary reminder, because without this corrective, the church can end up contained in a holding pattern, even with locked doors, somewhat afraid, or maybe really afraid, of going outside the familiar protective walls. I just returned from the Princeton Youth Forum, where, among other things, I was challenged again to consider the ways that the church can hunker down and effectively block openness to new ideas or new ways of being in community that keep young people from connecting. We tend to do this sort of thing out of fear, not fear of change per se, but fear of what we'll lose if something changes. As my colleague, the Reverend Dr. Kevin Smalls, reminded me the other day, the whole Christian movement began in the context of fear, with a group of disciples huddled together with the doors closed and locked. Now, without regular reminders, agitators, those who speak up, we revert to that familiar place. Today we see Jesus coming into that place saying, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. What does it mean to be sent as Jesus is sent?
If the accounts of Jesus' life are our guide, then it means that we, like Jesus, are sent into the world to bring healing into places of suffering, hope into places of despair, mercy and forgiveness into places of sin, comfort into places of grief, peace into places of violence, love into places of hatred. We are to be sent as Jesus, which means that we are sent to be bearers of God's life in the world, to put our lives on the line for the sake of justice, to stand in solidarity with those who are hurt by the systems of the day. That's some of what Jesus did. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are a people who are not only gathered into the family of God, those who go to church, but we are also inherently a sent people. Now think for just a moment with me about the life-giving rhythm of our bodies, breathing in and breathing out, the most natural thing in the world. We know that a healthy body needs to be able to do both. The in-breath of the body of Christ, the church, is the Spirit gathering us in to be loved and supported and fed and strengthened and given purpose through sacrament and worship and study and community. It's all those things that kids were saying they do when we come to church. That's the in-breath. Every Sunday, the body breathes in, takes in God's grace and power and mercy. And the out-breath is the Spirit of God. It's like the Spirit of God blowing out across the chaos of the world at the very beginning, bringing peace and new life. The sentness of the church is like that. The church moving out into the chaos and brokenness of the world to bring love and mercy and healing and hope, even when we don't know what we're doing, just being sent and breathed out. Every day between Sundays, the body of Christ exhales, breathing the Spirit into places that are thirsty for life and hope and kindness. We often talk about the church having a mission. But it's not so much that we, the church, have a mission, but that God's mission has a church. To say that we are a sent people is to recognize that to be a disciple of Jesus is not just about going to church in order to take care of ourselves or to save our soul or anything like that. Those things are certainly part of the deal. By God's grace, we breathe in these gifts and these graces and the love and mercy of God as we are gathered in, so that we can be breathed out, sent out into the world to live our whole life in a way that participates in God's mission of saving love and mercy in the world. Rather than just going to church, it's about being the church in all places and all the time. This past week, we have found ourselves in some challenging and some painful places. A week ago today, here at Foundry, there were brothers and sisters in front of our building with big signs and a bulletin saying and doing hateful and hurtful things based on their interpretation of Christian teaching, declaring all of us hell-bound because of our understanding and practice of the gospel. One response might have been to retreat behind closed doors for fear of these family members who are against us. That's, by the way, the equivalent of saying for fear of the Jews. The disciples were Jews, friends. It was their own family that they were in conflict with, in addition to others. One response would have been for us to come inside and close the door and say, we don't want to hear it. Let's just pretend they're not there. Let's not engage. To be fearful. Or to ignore them. But what I saw this community do was to open the doors wider and to care for one another and to stand outside as a witness for love and grace in the face of hatred. I saw you go out and pray and extend your hands in blessing over those who curse us. On Sunday night at the Interfaith Prayer Service and on Tuesday morning on the steps of the Supreme Court building in the midst of the rally for marriage equality, I saw you, Foundry, show up in all sorts of ways, set to stand for justice and for love. Tuesday afternoon, a group of you, Foundry, were sent to D.C. Councilman Jack Evans' office, as you've been sent to other councilmen and councilwomen's offices, to advocate for a budget that will enable D.C. to end chronic homelessness. When the riots broke out on Monday following Freddie Gray's funeral, I witnessed you responding through prayer and organizing and commitment in real ways to stand in solidarity with our sisters and brothers in Baltimore, culminating in the prayer vigil that happened on Tuesday, and all the contributions that we are gathering today, and all of the ways that we will continue to respond. As I walked through the streets of Sandtown with Pastor Don and Pastor Ben and many other United Methodist clergy on Tuesday evening, I was aware in some part of myself that we were there as God's sent people. Sent into the world just as Jesus was sent into the world to be with, to show support, to show care, and to show love. And just to make sure I didn't miss the point, I believe it was God who, in one moment, sent a teenage girl named Delilah, who, as this whole plot of clergy folk were tromping down the street, Delilah calls out and says, what, you just going to keep walking? The community's over here. So, when somebody says that, you go. And so I moved in her direction, and then others moved in her direction, and she led us to the place where a parade was coming up the street. A witness organized by those in that community to show forth the gifts and the pride of the youth in that place. And we witnessed together little girls who were learning to march and step. And we witnessed little drummer boy, and we missed a fierce drum line and some of the most interesting and amazing steppers you have ever seen. Since last August and the events that unfolded in Ferguson, I have been in prayer and in conversation to try to discover how and where Foundry can best be present with people in D.C. who are experiencing similar discrimination, who feel forgotten, who are desperate for their voices to be heard. Because, friends, we as God's people are called not just to be sent in response to tragedy. We are called and sent to prevent tragedy. I don't want to wait until Ferguson and Baltimore and New York happens here. I don't want to wait. I've been looking, I've been asking, I've been pleading with some fix everything. It's easy to default to our familiar gatherings. Let's have another committee meeting. I mean, God help me. I have been caught in those cycles. Lord, forgive me. Foundry's not one to retreat from the big, complex challenges. Thanks be to God. Our advocacy for affordable housing and supportive housing for the homeless, our commitment to continue deepening understanding and raising consciousness about racial justice through conversations like the one we'll have today with Dr. Walkman, these are important pieces. But what Jesus did was show up. He just reached out and touched people. He went into their homes. He saw and heard their struggles firsthand. For the better part of a year, I have been looking and listening for a Delilah here in D.C. to speak up and say, you can keep going about business as usual. The community is over here. You may have noticed, I'm growing impatient, waiting for someone to give direction, to point and tell me where to go. I know that there is community in this city, our city, that needs a presence that we can bring. So today, I affirm that we will do all we can in response to what is happening in Baltimore. We will continue unabated in our advocacy and support for larger initiatives, but I'm particularly calling on our staff and our leaders and some of you who know a lot more than I do about communities in this city to identify a community. We can't be everywhere, but we can be somewhere. Identify a community in our city where children walk through every day feeling unsafe, where there is not enough food, where drugs and addiction and violence steal hope and break down relationships, where gentrification and other economic factors threaten whole communities. Help us figure out how we can come alongside Christ, who is always already there, to do what we can, to show up, to show that we care, to listen, to be God's sent people who stand for mercy and justice and love. It doesn't mean that the community with whom we come into relationship will not experience tragedy or even a riot if something, God help us, happens in our city. But it does mean that if those things occur, the folks in that community will know that they are not alone, that they have not been alone, and that we've got their back. I have a tendency to go on sprees sometimes and buy big chunks of cards. I have this great intention of, like, I'm going to buy a bunch of cards and I'm going to send them out to people that I love. The other day I came across a big stack of Easter cards. There they were, just waiting for me to send a little note to the people that I love. Those of us who are gathered in, breathed in, who've been given the words and the sacrament and the very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, the ones who have received those things, that word of love, that word of hope, that word of mercy, we who have received that word are God's love letter to the world. And friends, we are meant to be sent. Loving and gracious God, times in ways that we struggle to know how to respond. We wait and we look for help. God, for the times when we have stood back and waited, when we simply needed to take a step forward, forgive us. Gracious God, we come to you today knowing that we are your people, that you love us, that you have given us so many gifts. God, forgive us for when we hoard those gifts and we're not ready to step out and share them with those who need. Gracious God, we know today that there are people hurting, that a word or a touch or a smile or an act from us, an offering, might make all the difference. God, forgive us and help us to respond in mercy, gratitude, and generosity and love.
Praise your name and join their unending hymn.
resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and made with us a new covenant by your Spirit and by water.
On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, O God. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this as often as you drink it, in memory of me."
And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus, we have nothing but to offer but ourselves as holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering with us, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God, pour out your Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us with your Holy Spirit and upon these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup, we might know the presence of the risen Christ and be renewed as Christ's body for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. In your Spirit, make us one with Jesus. Make us one with each other. Make us one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and all honor is yours, Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as confident children of God, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
The body of Christ, freely broken and freely given out of love for you and for me and for this beautiful broken world. It's the cup of Jesus Christ poured out for you and for me and for all this beautiful broken world. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
At this time, we invite all of our communion stewards to come forward. Our table is open for all. Here at Foundry, we take communion by intention, taking the bread and dipping it in the cup. Our mealy girls are open. You can come and eat and feast and pray. And also, we have gluten-free station here if you need to have communion gluten-free. All are welcome. The usher will guide you and lead you through communion this morning.
Thank you.
Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll sing it together, a great song of ascending. We are called. I invite you to stand as you're able. It's number